From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. All right, everybody, welcome back to Referral Worthy. Today, I have on my good friend and Smutty Book compatriot, Mary Williams. Mary, would you mind telling everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yes, my business is called Sensible Woo. I have been reading tarot for business owners for like 25 years, and I'm a librarian by trade. So I have been helping people with systems and data management and all the nerdy stuff that runs behind the scenes that makes business run online since like 2016. Readings shifted into business coaching about that time because people were booking readings with me, and I attracted a lot of business owners, and they would say, hey, can I ask a question about my business in the middle of their reading? And I would say, sure. And then they would ask me about software integration.
And then I would immediately be like, you did not need to book a tarot reading to talk about technical things.
So then that eventually grew into full-on coaching. And now I'm transitioning back out so I can get more zeitgeisty and really help people find the fun again, become human again. As a librarian, I have seen people, us, embrace, you know, fiction thing again. And I just see there's this really big opportunity for all of us in business to be better, do better for our customer bases when everything's not so serious all the time. And that's not so much a systems thing, but when I was coaching in systems, we had a really big tagline that one of my original clients came up with actually back in the day. And we used to say, you are your best system. You are your first system. And I still feel like that is really true. And I feel like what we're going to talk about today is completely related to that concept of you are a system and you have to start figuring yourself out as a system. Otherwise, business does become unsustainable and you burn out. Or when times are crazy like they are right now, it feels like it affects you harder. And I feel like if people knew more how to handle themselves, that maybe we would all feel just a little bit better.
Oh, my God. There's so many things in this that I want to talk about. Unsurprisingly, like keeping this interview at time is probably going to be the hardest one I've ever done, to be honest. We only have a half hour. We can do it. I believe in us. Let's start right with that piece you said about the importance of knowing yourself better. That has been something for me, like it's the whole reason that I ended up in marketing by accident was because I was so interested in the self-help stuff. And like, you know, one way or another, you kind of end up with your feet in both if you're into that kind of thing.
I don't tend to be really forward facing with it in my online presence, but oh my God, astrology has been life changing for me.
Life changing.
Yes.
And these are all systems. Like astrology is a system. Your time productivity management thing is a system. There are systems across all day, every day, throughout your whole life. And when you start to see, and maybe it's just because I'm a super nerd, I don't know, but when you start to see that everything can be systematized, it suddenly becomes, in my opinion, a lot less overwhelming because we know how to fix systems. As humans, it makes sense. You can think about, I always love using food as a metaphor or an analogy. It's sort of like if you have a recipe and you're cooking it and you're making this great dinner, and you change an ingredient or you change the quantity of something and either improves or hurts that recipe, the end result, you have figured out more data about that system. That recipe is a system. And you yourself are the same way. And it's sort of like, okay, I'm going to try this ingredient. I'm going to try astrology. Do I like it? Does it help me? Does it help me feel like I am learning more about myself, that I can, you know, go through my days with a bit more ease? Some people could say it has sort of like a psychosomatic effect where it's like maybe the astrology doesn't really help. Who knows? But if it's helping you emotionally do better, I think that's the important part, because all of this emotional work that I started diving into with clients started because when I was still in my corporate career, I was, you know, manager of technology at a library. I was always on the tech team in my entertainment corporate spaces. And I saw how much for especially normal everyday staff, how much technology was very emotional. If the internet went down, if the server went down and people were freaking out, it's like, that's an emotional response.
Right.
And so I think it's important that we recognize how much we do run off our emotions, and that something like astrology or reading smutty books, that it's based in an emotional response. Like, it's doing something for you emotionally, and you should pay attention to that.
Oh my God, it's true. Well, and the other thing with recognizing that everything is a system is that, first of all, what a relief, because that means that there are patterns involved, first of all.
Yes.
And second, that somebody else has probably done this before you. Like, I don't know why it took me until my mid-30s to realize, oh, all of these things that I'm thinking about all the time, other people have probably been in my shoes before. I don't know why that was such a foreign fucking concept for me for so long. But I'm so much better now about when a problem comes up being like, okay, who already sorted through this? How can I hit the speed button through this particular thing? Because you can't do everything, especially if it's emotional. However, there is a lot that we make emotional that doesn't necessarily have to be.
Well, like, the emotional response cues up a system, right? So, like, I've been doing somatic therapy for, I think it's like almost 3 years now at this point, because I realized that talk therapy wasn't enough and woo-woo things not enough. It's like, no, I've got things like in my muscle fibers of my body that need to be processed. And it's a system. Like, there are different exercises you can do. There's different breathing techniques you can do. Box breathing is a system. When you start to recognize micro and macro level systems, you realize that, yes, it can be replicated. When we have something that can be replicated because there's a pattern, in business, we know about SOPs, standard operating procedures. And so we know that you can write out the recipe for how to get something done in your business and hand it off to something and delegate it. And while you might not delegate out your emotion, you can think of it kind of like, what would be the SOP for me dealing with when times are hard, when things get tough? Because business is so cyclical. Things go up, they go down. You and I have been in business long. We have been through ups and downs and everything in between. And it's just a cycle that goes around and around and around. But sometimes it hits harder for whatever reasons, lots of different factors, or maybe you're newer, or maybe you just made a pivot. And so the up or the down feels a lot more than it would have previously. And so all of it just becomes a very systematized approach. And I figured, why not embrace my neurodivergence and looking for a pattern?
Right now, we are in such a interesting, chaotic, horrible moment in so many ways. We're recording this on February 26th of 2025. And so we are just about a month into this administration. And as long as we've been in business, Mary, I would love to hear, first of all, what is your experience with your business right now? And two, what are the patterns that you're seeing happening with our peers in the bigger online business space, et cetera?
I feel like I have been around the block for very long. It's really interesting. I feel like it's almost like a day-to-day kind of thing. It's not like week-to-week or month-to-month. I think people are in a very reactive space right now. There's a lot of fight or flight going on, a lot of reactive, if in big air quotes, decision-making happening right now.
That's a really, really good way to put that. Yeah. Decision making. Yes.
Big air quotes. I'm seeing people declare really huge concepts on social media posts or whatever. And I'm like, girl, you really want to declare that right now? I feel like it's highlighting things that are still unresolved that showed up during COVID. It's like, if you're finding yourself feeling, you know, again, they're feelings, right? Like, if you're finding yourself feeling out of sorts, or like you're losing your power or whatever, it's like, yes, there are realities happening in our world with policies being changed, et cetera, et cetera. On just your business level alone, not a whole lot has changed when it comes to the way we can or cannot take payments from our clients right now, the way we can or cannot offer a webinar or a group gathering or meet online or record a podcast like we're doing right now. Like, they have not gone anywhere. And so there's a little bit of this, can everybody just chill out for a hot minute? And not to minimize what people are feeling, but can we chill out for a minute? Because the people who are actively being threatened, especially like our LGBT and trans friends, like, that is a real threat to who you are as an individual. And if you're so stuck in your I panic world, you actually can't show up for them. And there's a lot of businesses that to be very trendy and on trend and say, I'm progressive and I'm for the people and I'm all about equality. And I'm like, boo, you're not being all about equality if you're having a therapy moment very publicly right now. And it would be really nice if you could go take care of that off camera and off mic and go collect yourself and then come back when you're ready. And I think our online world is so programmed to be so gotta jump on the trend. I've gotta get on it right now. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And it's actually from an energetic standpoint, if we want to be woo-woo about it, I feel like everything is the system is telling us, hey, maybe step back, maybe get local. Like we have been doing this heavy in the last year. Get local, talk locally with your people. It doesn't all have to be broadcast all over the place all the time. You can still make a difference. And while you're at it, maybe clean up your systems in your business so you can operate more effectively with leaner overhead and be less dependent upon toxic systems so that you can have a bigger impact. How about approach it from that standpoint instead of just sort of repeating a lot of the same things? I see people just parroting each other. If I hear one more person use the term broligarchy in a post, I'm going to poke my eyeballs out. I'm like, describe it for me then. Tell me what you're doing about it. How do your systems counteract the broligarchy? Because at the moment, you just kind of fed right into it by just being loud without actions that follow up. So that's my soapbox.
That's a pretty solid soapbox. I feel like that's a really good transition point, actually, to talk about why we started hanging out more. Because initially, we were introduced by a mutual friend, but it wasn't really until last June that you and I really started getting to know each other.
Yeah, we have a book club. It's called The Feral Book Club. There's six of us. We're all local. And we read really smutty fiction. Sometimes it's better than others, but...
So I was not a smut reader before I joined this group, but I was so excited to be included on this fucking group chat. You guys would not even believe it because so Mary had reached out and initially the rule, and the rule still is, no business books, but every person in the group is a business owner. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, this is the easiest yes I've ever yes to. You know, and especially because, I mean, so much of my last year was really, really focused on my in-person community. Like after having Emerson, I'm not even one of those moms who went, you know, got super isolated and blah, blah, blah. That wasn't the case for me at all. 3 months of maternity leave and I was like back at it. But that was the thing. I was so back at it so fast into like my contracts that I didn't have time for anything except for work and baby. And honestly, it was a rough first year with him as a result. I didn't even think about what I was doing to myself in that regard. So
I don't know how you did it.
Lots of therapy. So borrowing ChatGPT to be like, okay, I'm going to rattle this into you. And then I need you to tell me if I'm overreacting and in what way I'm overreacting. Because if I do this to my husband, we're going to have a problem. But thank God for the robots being able to tolerate some of our nonsense before we like go and knock through people. This was the first opportunity that I had to meet a group of people who all kind of knew each other, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And find a more cohesive way to start interacting that has eventually like blossomed into something much bigger now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really special. It also helped me figure out the end of a massive pivot in my business. I mean, you have a front row seat to that behind the scenes, this podcast, because I'm going to be doing summer reading for entrepreneurs this summer, going back to my librarian roots. And I'm so excited about it because by actively doing the fiction reading together in real life, it gave me data and evidence with a very small data set of real people, how much we are just so inundated with thought leadership. And the same ideas get regurgitated again and again. And there comes a point where you can't hear yourself anymore as an entrepreneur. I mean, I would say you have a very rich personal life that's very interesting. I think all of us who are in our Feral Book Club tend to live that way, which is probably why we get along really well. I mean, you and I've both met people at networking events where they can't even make small talk. And it's not a thing you can cop out with a neurodivergence thing like MD and I don't like small talk. It's like, no, honey, you just suck at it because you haven't done anything other than listen to the same things from Alex Hormozi and Gary Vee for the last 6 months. realized how much, and then I started serving on our library board here in town too. So, you know, I'm doing a little bit of public service, and the uptick in fiction reading really got me seeing how much you can solve so many more problems as a business owner. Again, when you get to know yourself as a system better. I love that one of our book club members, she texts me regularly while she's reading things, because we all read really fast. So we'll have like one main book and then we're always reading like five other things on the side. And she'll tell me, because we're both library borrowers, so I'll be like, I returned the book, because I know she's next in line behind me for it. And she'll tell me, well, I'm really learning a lot about myself by what happens in these romance books, you know, whether it's a new kink or it's just the way people communicate or the way it's described. And you're like, oh, I'm not weird because I need communication in this way. Like, that's actually a really healthy, normal thing. Or no, I'm not weird because I like really weird, kinky, spicy romance, you know? Just become a little bit more, I think, in tune with what other people are also into right now, which helps you in turn connect better with prospective customers and also ding, 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 close sales. You and I, we were at this huge networking event just a few weeks ago. And there was this guy who ended up talking with our group all about the Fourth Wing series because his daughters were reading them. And so he wanted to know what they were reading. And if he hadn't had that touch point, that conversation would have gone nowhere because we would talk to him nowhere. After. Yeah.
Like I am automatically... I'm just not interested in talking to men, like 99% of the books. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, you're a safe human to talk to.
Yes, yes. They're also cues. They're value cues. So, you know, if you're reading Fourth Wing or ACOTAR or whatever these very popular book talk series are right now, it's very clear that to some degree, this is a person that will hold a safer space for me in this giant room of whatever's happening in that room. And if somebody poo-poos whatever it is you're reading, you immediately get a cue like, and I'm going to move on from this conversation. Like you and I are never going
to
get along.
Well, the other thing that I've loved so much about it that became immediately clear to me in the first month that we were all hanging out is if you will tell someone about your weird, like, tentacle, werewolf, fucking whatever kink, you will be honest about literally anything.
Anything.
Like, anything. It just puts you on the most hilariously equal, honest footing somehow. Like, I think you describe the way that it just pushes so much of the stuff that doesn't matter out of the way, like having this other thing in common.
Yes. And I've noticed, too, you know, because there's the chili pepper emoji tends to be used as a rating system for how explicit the sex scenes will be in a book. And it goes usually from 1 to 5 chili peppers. And we've all laughed at certain creators who've posted reels where books that we've read where we're like, oh, that's like maybe a 2 chili pepper at best. And they're like, it was like a 5. But I do feel like things like that, knowing that as a group that we can agree on a chili pepper rating system, which sounds silly from the surface level, but it's actually a really deep thing because it tells you this is how deep these other people are willing to go when I need to go to something that is honestly a very intimate, vulnerable space. And, you know, for every one of us at some point has spoken up and said, you know, that month is not spicy enough. I need more chili peppers. And to know that you can ask for that, I think there's something so beautiful about how these types of smutty romance books have, I think, empowered all of us to ask for more in the past year. And I would love to see more business people build a bridge between the reading they're doing outside of their business, thinking, oh, I'm just reading Fourth Wing. And it's like, no, actually, it's a business book. And tie it back into what they're doing in their business. And I bet you they would make different decisions in different ways. I really do.
I'm obsessed with that for obvious reasons. So, Mary, looking ahead to the rest of this year and moving forward, how do you see business owners continuing to connect to each other, grow their businesses, et cetera, in spite of everything that's happening in the outside world?
Yeah, I've been making this prediction since about this time last year. And this is way before election season, and I was already seeing the trend. So I think election season didn't start it. I think it lit the match that set everything that was ready to be ablaze. And I really feel like we are moving into an era of private invite-only spaces. I feel like there is definitely a safety concern going on for a lot of people. And it's not necessarily about physical or legal safety, but a lot of emotional safety. Can I trust these people to go through vulnerable change and vulnerable times and not feel like I don't belong here or that it's not okay for me to have a meltdown in front of them or whatever happens? I do think that, I mean, we've seen plenty of evidence already of how even meta-based platforms are completely changing. That's going to be interesting to watch. You just have to live through that kind of stuff in real time. You can't, I certainly can't predict. I read tarot cards and I will never try to predict that. Nobody can predict that. But I can tell trends and patterns. I can read emotional behavior and I can tell that people need private places where they can work through their problems on a deeper level, that's not some ginormous Facebook group, and it's not a public post, and it's a place that they know they're going to be taken care of by whoever's moderating that community. And anything like the way that we read fiction and just watching Bookstagram or BookTube or BookTok and watching how comments went wild post-election and people were like, books shouldn't be political. And people were like, excuse me, books have always been political. Have you ever read a book? Have you ever looked at art? And to watch the public discourse in a comment thread alone demonstrate how much, whether it's for the good or the bad, that people need to, for a while, segregate off into spaces where they're not going to be shut down by somebody who thinks that they shouldn't have that viewpoint. It is important. It doesn't mean that we don't still express our viewpoints publicly. You still need to give proof of life. This is like marketing 101. You still need to give proof of life. You still need to be telling people about what you're doing. And you can still be loud and proud about your values. But I personally think that the way that we express our values is also going to change. I've kind of been on a warpath in the past couple of weeks about showing your actions and not just your words. And I think we're going to start seeing a trend. I've noticed it already where people are posting video, like B-roll footage of them actually doing the activity, not just talking about the activity. Like, you're really great at doing that. You do that all the time. And I think that's really important. And you know, the need to hide less through like an expression that works for you. And if it means that you talk about the books you read and that's the way people connect the dots, then perfect. Like, find a bridge to build that helps you say what you need to say. I think people have been doing this with music for a really long time. They'll pick music tracks and put it on their reel or talk about their favorite songs because the lyrics or the artists express a certain viewpoint.
Mary, I could talk to you for ages and ages, and I might actually need to have you on one more time this season to go all the places that I want to go with this conversation.
We'll totally do it.
Before we go, I know that you have been talking about this reading retreat. So tell me a little bit more about what you've got in mind, because I know that there are people listening who this is going to be fucking it for them.
Yeah, I have been watching other people run reading retreats. So this is not, I came up with this idea, it's unique. Everything in this world is derivative. And I've been watching people on BookTok and Bookstagram have their book commentary businesses or brands just really blow up and turn into actual businesses. And they're doing destination retreats in some places, some cases, or smaller versions of that. And sometimes it's just friends who get together and book an Airbnb and go retreat and read books for the weekend. And I really feel like entrepreneurs need the same thing. And I don't know that I intended it to be this way, but now I'm realizing, oh, this is totally my platform for the year. And you don't need another business book. You just don't. So I have really been wanting to host a retreat here in our metro Portland, Vancouver area for entrepreneurs specifically. I mean, anyone could come, but really for our business crowd. And the rule is you're not allowed to bring a business book. You've got to bring a piece of fiction. And to have a structured space after running other people's communities for so many years, there's a lot of things that I've learned that work well to help people make connections together. But instead of the usual introduction, this is who I serve and what I offer, it's more, this is my unhinged book recommendation. And this is the thing I absolutely hated in the last year. And what's interesting is you know instantly who your people are when they tell you these things. And if you don't have answers to those things, that's also really great data about yourself. It's maybe this is the missing piece that has been the reason why I can't seem to grow my audience in the last year, why it's been so hard for people to say yes to me. And it's like, because maybe I've been reading just a little bit too much thought leadership and I just need to show up as a human right now. Speaking of the geopolitics of the world, I think we're really being asked to show up as full, complete humans. It's important. Our online age kind of got us really far away from that because everybody's like, what's the latest Reels trend? I've got to hop on trendy music today. And it's like, no, you're a person first. That's kind of grown in the last week too. I needed a better container for it. So I'm going to run summer reading at the library that you do for kids. I'm going to do it for entrepreneurs. It'll be hybrid. So there'll be a lot of online workshops and expert panels and Q&A. But there will be an in-person reading retreat here in the city. And I just think it'll be such a great way for people to get together and realize that the love of reading hasn't gone anywhere. We really need to support our libraries right now. Newsflash, it can be fun. Things can be fun. They don't have to be so ding-dang serious. That's what I really want people to have.
Oh my God, Mary, thank you so, so much for coming on and for sharing your wisdom with us. And I will make sure to have links down below for anybody interested in the retreat, et cetera. Thank you again, Mary.
Thanks, Dusty.
You've been listening to Referral Worthy. If you're ready to get more business from the clients who already love you, you need my Client Experience Pack. It's a collection of templates designed to help you create a referral-worthy experience from first touch to final invoice. Find it at thereinvention.co/CEP.